Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. Be not alarmed by the sound of my voice today. It is not quite the way that it should be. It is getting better, and those of you who are hoping for an early crossing of the bar by your captain, you're doomed to disappointment. So today I am breaking my normal order of business because I have a presentation that I want to make to my friends and colleagues, Captain O'Brien and the counselor. And this is in keeping with my very strongly felt and held conviction that each of us has some responsibility for watching the six of those for whom we have loyalty and affection, regard, and respect. So in that regard, I am breaking my normal greetings and am at this point extending my greetings to Captain O'Brien and to the counselor, and we're going to make the presentation right now.
And thank you very much, Captain Joe. You want to tell the folks why you're doing this?
Yes, you're reminding me that that this has to do with over 2 years ago, Captain O'Brien, with an incredible piece of skilled airmanship, put the airplane that he was pilot in command of into the trees, and he had the counselor with him, and the two of them were, they both survived, and they survived only because they had, I am led to believe, a Swiss Army knife.
And that is correct.
And only a Swiss Army knife in which to extract themselves from the aircraft. And so I am an avid pilot, would like to be an avid pilot, but of course I'm beyond that, both in terms of years and in terms of health arrangements. And so I sort of vicariously follow what the captain and the counselor are doing. And when it became clear that they needed some help in terms of the equipment that they needed to carry to be a part of their kit, their sea bag, I decided to do something about it. And so...
And these are beautifully made. This is top-notch.
This is quality. It's quality.
It really is. First cabin here.
You're not hanging around with some Joe the Ragman.
I tell you, I am very impressed and appreciative,
indeed. Captain. And for those of you who might just be tuning in, Captain Joe has just made a presentation where he has given us two survival tools that we can use, that hopefully we will never have the opportunity to use. Because it's for survival once you put an airplane into the forest, which is not something that we want to do again in our lives. But
speak for yourself.
Yeah, you know, here's the one thing that I appreciate most about this. You know, we have survival gear in the airplane now that we've learned from our mistakes. But this survival gear, I mean, you may not be able to get to that bag that's in the back of that airplane.
That's exactly so.
And what's beautiful about these is they go in your belt. And so you can put this on your, both of them will fit directly onto your belt. And I can assure you now when I go flying, I will have these on my belt. Because if I ever get myself in that situation, I'll have them right on my person.
We just have to get you out of the airplane.
Well, I have to point out that if you have those on your belt and you happen to ditch and you have to go into the water, you're going to sink right to the bottom.
Well, because I'm going to have to take my pants off at that point.
There's a large inflatable in here, too.
There's a one-man raft.
I think in the one that says flight gear survival tool, I believe there is a one-man raft in there. Pop when you go out of the
door. Yeah.
So
I think that's the only thing that's missing there, Joe.
So there's a metaphor to all of this.
Okay.
And the metaphor to all of this is one of loving friendship. And that all of us who are given the privilege of friendship to other people around us should also be aware of the fragility of that friendship and how it can be taken away from us so quickly. and so unexpectedly, and therefore we do whatever we can. In this case, this is my way of providing you with the airman's equivalent of the survival gear and the survival suit and all of the stuff that I'm so familiar with aboard ship. Well, and you have it to both of you with my love, my affection, and in particular my regard and my respect, not only for your skills as airmen, but also for your continuing friendship as we work our way through our lives. And with that, I am going to move on to my regular programming.
Well, Captain Joe, let us just say thank you very, very much. This is really appreciated. Very, very much appreciated.
And thank you for the marvelous example you set for all of us.
Exactly, exactly.
Then with that, we blot a random tear that might be dripping out of the corner of our eyes, and we move on. But I move on quickly with one remark, and that is that when Captain O'Brien put that airplane down into the top of those trees, at first we did not know whether or not he had survived. He and the counselor had survived. And for those of us who have required a certain number of chronological years, we continue to have people that we love and care about cross the bar, and I wasn't ready for that. And I'm not ready for it the next time should it ever happen again, and that's why they've got that axe that goes with that survival kit. And now I'm going to move on to my regular broadcast and to give greetings. Those were my greetings to all of Captain Joe's people, all of you out there who have graced me with your friendship, your love, your affection, your regard, and your respect. I am more grateful for that than I can ever express. And I am more grateful for that than I can ever be fully aware of in my own heart. The binnacle list today, I'm putting myself on the binnacle list, if only because of the voice, and I had a little bit of a rough patch during the week, but I am coming out into the sunshine now, and that is, and that's beginning to work for me. There's not much in the way of medication that can do anything about this. It just has to work its way through. And also, I am have been made aware during the week of a couple of successes with people who have had surgeries that have worked out the way that they were supposed to. Not all surgeries do. It's not an exact and precise science. And in particular, those who are working their way through the combination of surgery, chemicals, and radiation for the treatment of cancers in various parts of their bodies. The other entity that I'm putting on the binnacle list is the Coast Guard cutter Polar Sea. A week from today, she's going to be hooked up to a pair of tugs towed out of the Coast Guard base at Pier 36 over on the Alaskan Way in the city of Seattle, and towed down to the Naval Reserve Fleet in Suisun, California. From there, her voyage to the Knacker's Yards cannot be far behind. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Polar Sea in just a minute, but I am putting her on the binnacle list because she is going to depart the binnacle list in the way which is so sad to your captain. In the meantime, in the last week, I went to the interment of my friend and colleague, my brown shoe friend and colleague, Captain Ray Copen. It was at Tahoma National Cemetery. And it was, and it included an honor detail from the Coast Guard. Now, Coast Guard regulations say that when a person of a rank, let's say in this case captain, is being interred, that the honor guard will include somebody of the same rank. And so Captain Copeland was entitled to, and indeed had, a fellow captain in uniform at the ceremony. What I did not know until I actually met this gentleman was that he had volunteered for this because he was himself a brown shoe, a naval aviator, as was Captain Copeland. And when he realized that Captain Copeland was the honoree at this ceremony, he, as a fellow naval aviator, a brother pterodactyl, that's the name of the organization in the Coast Guard of Coast Guard aviators, the pterodactyls. And he volunteered for that. And the Coast Guard provided an honor detail, and they did the flag ceremony impeccably. It was a very heartwarming and significant day for me and for Captain Copeland's nephew, who is Captain Lawson Brigham, who is my friend and colleague and who was supposed to be on the broadcast with me next week. But I'm going to broadcast next week from Polar Sea. And that means that Captain Brigham, who is in Alaska, and I think probably will not be able to come down for the last day of Polar Sea before she makes her last voyage. So I'm going to have to delay Captain Brigham. We were going to and will be talking about the Arctic, and in particular the Russian and Chinese adventures in the Arctic that are going on right now, and what he feels and what I feel are going to happen in the not-too-distant future. You will want to listen to that broadcast, but next week I will be broadcasting live, unscripted and unrehearsed, probably from the flight deck of Polar Sea, and I will have on with me as many of the Polar Sea people as I can have time for. Back to Captain Copeland's ceremony out at Tahoma. Not many people in his family have any military connection. I was invited to speak, and you know that an invitation to me to speak is an invitation accepted, and so I took the opportunity to explain to his family some of the nuances and subtleties of the ceremonies, the way the flag was unfolded and for the rifle salute and for taps, and then was folded such that it ended up in the triangular shape with none of the white or none of the red showing. So I took the opportunity to explain a little bit of that and to point out that Captain Copeland had been given a special honor by the fact that the captain who represented the Coast Guard and who presented the flag to his two daughters was himself a brown shoe, a naval aviator, and that he had on purpose volunteered and asked to be a part of the ceremony so that he could honor his brother, pterodactyl. It was a lovely day. Lovely day in the sense that the ceremonies were done just right, and the family had a chance to gather, and we all had a chance to tell some other things about a really good man who has crossed his own bar. The Polar Sea. I remain convinced that if I and Captain Brigham, who was my deputy when I was the ICE boss for Commandant Jim Gracie, if we were still on active duty, that we could have done something with Polar Sea. I have not inspected her myself, But the hull is the classic icebreaker hull form. It cannot be improved on very much. It is the same hull form as Nansen's Fram that he lent to Amundsen to go to the south, and from which Amundsen made his run to the South Pole. She has the proper icebreaker stern, and she has the proper icebreaker bow, and she has the proper icebreaker rounded hull form, which is a very, very difficult one to take across the tropics. But once you get into the ice, they work. I am sick at heart because not even a single piece of steel that is going into the next icebreaker that is dedicated to her has been cut. Not one. They're building some kind of boxes to figure out how to work the steel. This is the wrong shipyard, and it's the wrong ship for them. And in the meantime, we're buying this ice-strengthened oil-rigged servicing vessel that even Coast Guard leadership continues to call an icebreaker. She's no icebreaker. She is not going to be able to go into McMurdo on a heavy ice year. And hopefully she doesn't get nipped somewhere up in the high Arctic and have to be rescued by one of those Russian nuclear-powered icebreakers. Captain Brigham and I will be talking about that when I have him on this broadcast. In any case, a decision has been made that now Poor Sea, the hull intact, still floating, is going down to the Naval Reserve Fleet in Suisun, California. And there she will sit and languish until somebody says either we break her up or give me the opportunity. Let me have the chance and see whether or not something could not be done with her. Maybe a complete re-engine, nose controllable pitch propellers, a diesel electric drive. I had to clear my throat there to get the cough going. And but I remain convinced that something could have been done, and I remain convinced that maybe something still can be done. And it may well be taken away from us. Enough of that for now. Also on Sunday, I did my Sunday tours out at Point Robinson. A number of people had sent me signals during the week asking if I were going to be there, and I told them what hours I would be there and asked them to make themselves known to me, and in fact, they all did. Several lovely families, including some grandchildren. We just had a glorious day together talking about lighthouses, talking about the significance of lighthouses, why they are sited where they are, how they work, how we've had lighthouses for thousands of years, a long, long time, starting in the Mediterranean where so much seagoing actually did start. That's where our rules of the road came from originally. The Phoenicians, they go back that far. So one of the things that happened along with these lovely families that came to see me and to talk about lighthouses and to talk about a lot of other things as well was a lovely young lady named Molly. And Molly came up to me and she said, Captain Joe, I am about ready to have my final interview for selection to go and do my pre-med at the military training facility for physicians. I don't remember the exact name of the facility, but it's at Walter Reed, the old Walter Reed Army Hospital in Washington, D.C. And she said, do you have any thoughts about how I should handle the interview? I really want this. I want this desperately. I want this more than I've wanted anything in my whole life. And I said, Molly, from the captain's chair, just be Molly. Don't try to figure out what the interview board people want to hear. Don't try to figure out what the school answer should be. Don't try to figure out anything. Just answer the questions honestly and be yourself. She said, I think that that's great advice. I hope I can do that. And I said, just take an even strain. Just relax. These are not people that are trying to trip you up. These are not people that want you to fail. These are people who desperately themselves want to find the best candidates, and the best candidates are those who present themselves as who they really are. She said, I'm here with my family. And I said, where did you do your undergraduate work? She said, the University of Virginia. And I said, oh, Mr. Jefferson's University in Charlottesville. Do you know about Charlottesville? And I said, oh, honey, I am a son of the Commonwealth. I grew up with Mr. Jefferson and General Washington. I said, my grandfather, do you know Pohick Church in Fairfax County? And she said, I do. It's not very far from where my family lived. I said, my grandfather and my grandmother and three of my other relations are buried in Pohick Church. My grandfather was a vestryman there. And she said, I don't think I've ever met anybody who knows about those places. And I said, well, now you do. And now go forth and just kill that interview just by being Molly. I said, if you think about it, send me a signal. Let me know how it all worked out. Well, in the excitement of all of this good advice in which she was afloat, we did not exchange email addresses, and so it's highly unlikely that I will hear. But I remain confident that the ever-lovely Molly is, in fact, going to be selected. She is going to the Health University, whatever it's called, at Walter Reed. She is going to be a splendid military physician. Molly, carry on. Carry on, love. On some heads-up news, just in case it happens, a possible strike of the International Longshoremen's Association, which is the longshoremen's union for the East Coast. Here on the West Coast, we have the ILWU, the Old Harry Bridges Union. On the East Coast, it's the ILA, and their contract ends on the 30th of September. And there is a rumbling amongst the container cranes in the ILA that if they do not have a contract that is acceptable both to the union and to the operators, that they will go on strike. Well, that coupled with the loss of containers, for which I must now give you a report of a container loss. The CGM Bell M, which belongs to the CGM line, lost almost 100 containers off the east coast of South Africa last week. And that is the second loss of CGM containers in about the same place, which tells me that the port captain needs to get down to his ships and make sure that the eight corners of those containers are being properly secured, because that's how it works. On each one of the corners of a container is a clip, a metal clip. And these clips have been known to fail themselves through flaws in the metal of the clips, or have been improperly secured. But in any case, the loss of containers over the side carrying vital commodities to you and to me has been happening ever since the beginning of the container era. Now, we have ships that are certificated to carry as many as 20,000 20-foot containers. Most containers today are 40-foot containers, so that you half that. But even so, 10,000 40-foot containers is a lot. And they're stacked up 8, 10 high. And at each one of those eight corners, they need to be properly secured and properly clipped down. And if they're not, then they're going to go over the side. And that's what happened with CGM Bell M. I've seen a photograph of her. She's absolutely enormous. She's probably licensed to carry maybe 15,000 TEUs, 20-foot containers. So I tell you that, and couple that with the possibility of an ILA strike on the East Coast, just in case you're expecting a shipment of vital commodities coming into your home, those things may be thwarted just a little bit. In good news, however, the Gatun Lake in the Panama that provides the water for the lockage in the Panama Canal, the water levels have risen and the canal authority is easing up on the draft of ships that can go through. That helps the supply chain. And looking at my just recently wound Omega watch, it tells me that we are at two bells of the afternoon watch. It is time for your Captain Joe to proclaim once again that we will meet here, but not in the Gene Boss studio next week. I'll be broadcasting live from the Coast Guard cutter Polar Sea. And in the meantime, you watch out for the six of all of those people for whom you are responsible, and know that your Captain Joe is, as always, on station and watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again.